Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello and welcome back for another As It Is program. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today we have two interesting stories for you. The first is about new technology from the Apple Corporation. Then, civil rights in America, an important anniversary, the President of the United States, and a Hollywood movie are all involved. So, let's get started. Here is Ann Ball with more on the big news from Apple.
Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, showed off their newest device, the Apple Watch. Mr. Cook said it is the most personal device Apple has ever created. The Apple Watch is a miniature or very small computer a person wears on his or her wrist. There will be three models with straps to attach them to your wrist. An Apple Watch will be able to do many of the same things as an iPhone. It will show email, texts, news, health readings, and other information. These apps will be customized for the watch. It will be different than just seeing what is on your phone. Like a phone, you will be able to receive calls on your wrist. Mr. Cook smiled while describing this. "I've been wanting to do this since I was 5 years old," he said. "The day is finally here." Decades ago, a comic strip hero named Dick Tracy talked into his wristwatch, but until now, that has only been something possible in the future. The crown of the Apple Watch is what sets this Apple product apart from other companies' smartwatches. Like the touch screen on smartphones, the crown controls what you can do. By turning the crown on an Apple Watch, you can zoom in and out to look at a map, for example. The watches will be available in stores in late April. They will be sold at different prices, beginning at $349. Mr. Cook called the high-end model, the one made of 18-karat gold, jaw-dropping beautiful. Its price tag will be thousands of dollars. The biggest surprise to me was that the price range goes up to $10,000 for the Apple Edition watch, writes tech blogger Carolyn Nickender Moore of The Wonder of Tech. That price is quite steep for technology that may be obsolete in a year. Apple hopes to excite consumers so they will want to buy and wear computers on their bodies. The first smartwatches from Samsung, Sony, and LG have not been selling well. Only 5 million smartwatches were sold last year, according to Strategy Analytics. Another wearable computer, Google Glass Eyewear, is no longer on the market. Critics say one problem with Apple Watch is that you need an iPhone on your body or nearby to make this watch fully functional. Like a phone, it will also need to be charged each night. It remains to be seen whether people really want to carry both a smartphone and a smart watch. Apple has overcome skeptics before. Both computer tablets and smartphones were not popular until Apple released the iPad and iPhones. The announcement today comes after last week's news that Apple will replace AT&T on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The Dow Jones Index includes the top 30 companies representing the U.S. economy and markets. I'm Ann Ball.
You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. This month, President Barack Obama went to Selma, Alabama, to mark the 50th anniversary of a day known as Bloody Sunday. On March 7, 1965, police officers brutally attacked peaceful demonstrators there. The protesters were part of a campaign to get voting rights for African Americans. As we hear from Jonathan Evans, the incident in Selma led to passage of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. The act removed legal barriers that prevented many African Americans from voting.
The 2014 Hollywood film Selma is about the events of 50 years ago. The movie is a sign of renewed interest in the American civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s. For years, parts of the southern United States had trouble dealing with the past. Now, many southern communities are coming to terms with their history. They have taken steps to recognize what happened with hopes of appealing to visitors from across the country and from overseas. Many towns, including Selma, are adding historical markers, building museums, and fixing up churches that were part of the civil rights movement. The images of police beating back peaceful voting rights protesters brought the world's attention to Selma, Alabama, in March of 1965. Days after Bloody Sunday, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led thousands in a historic voting rights march. Lee Sintel directs Alabama's tourism department. He says he hopes that tourists can learn more about the civil rights struggles and the people who were a part of the movement.
Our job is to make sure that people learn about the story beyond just the fact that Martin Luther King made a lot of great speeches, because there were ordinary people who had a lot to lose, whether their jobs or their lives, and they demonstrated to make change come to the South and the country and the world.
Fred Gray is a civil rights lawyer. He recently spoke to tourists about the events of 50 years ago.
After they were beaten back on Bloody Sunday, they called me and I went over that same night.
Fred Gray and his wife founded a small museum in Tuskegee, Alabama in 1997. Now, it is one of several organizations in Alabama that provide people a look into the fight against racial discrimination. Mr. Gray says he hopes the state will create and maintain more civil rights landmarks.
The state of Alabama, and particularly the Department of Tourism, now recognize the fact that civil rights is an engine for economic growth and development. They see that people are interested and that we need to preserve that history. And by preserving it and by people coming in, it generates tourism.
William Bell is the mayor of the city of Birmingham, Alabama. He says over 200,000 people visit civil rights attractions in the city each year.
I think by looking at our civil rights history and attracting people to come in and see not only the way we were, but the way we are and the way we want to be, will give us the financial support to really make sure that our cities grow and prosper.
Melissa Gray brought her family to Selma from Georgia. She says it's important for people to understand history to avoid repeating history.
Well, I think if we don't understand our history, we may definitely repeat our history. And it's so important for our children who don't have to deal with the struggles that my predecessors and siblings and my parents had to deal with.
In Selma, residents are embracing this increase in civil rights tourism. They hope it will improve the struggling economy, provide more jobs, and help the city. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. The administration of President Barack Obama is seeking to make new trade deals. Among these is the Trans-Pacific Partnership with 11 Pacific nations. Another is a trade agreement with Europe. But getting trading partners to sign the deals and the U.S. Congress to approve them will require settling many differences. One of those issues is how nations manage their currency. Protesters from U.S. trade unions and other free trade skeptics say some nations manipulate the value of their currencies. This can give their exports an unfair price advantage on world markets. And that, the critics say, hurts American workers. Democratic Party Senator Chuck Schumer says the U.S. must do more to protect American workers.
And we should shrug our shoulders. And it's estimated that millions of jobs have gone away.
Exporting countries gain when the exchange value of their currency is low. Carnegie Mellon University economics professor Lee Brandstetter says this can have the same effect as providing financial support or protection to a nation's exporters. He spoke via Skype.
It's making their goods artificially cheap, our goods artificially expensive. It's as if they were subsidizing their exports and applying tariffs to our imports.
Mr. Brandstetter says nations can change the value of their own currencies by using their money to buy U.S. currency and government securities. More demand for U.S. money makes it more costly. Less demand for a nation's currency makes it less costly. Some members of Congress are concerned that the issue of unfairly low currency values will hurt manufacturing jobs. They say new trade deals must stop currency manipulation. But Mr. Brandstetter says such rules also could affect U.S. economic policies, such as efforts to keep interest rates low. The Trans-Pacific Partnership now is almost completed. Some experts say adding currency manipulation provisions now could stop the agreement. Undersecretary of State Catherine Novelli says failing to reach a deal could hurt U.S. workers.
If we don't get the deal done, rules can be put in place that are not going to be fair, and the bar can be set very low, and that could really impede our ability to export the things that our workers and our farmers are producing.
A separate agreement called Trade Promotion Authority is being discussed in Congress. Under TPA, Congress can accept or reject trade agreements, but cannot amend or delay them. Republican Party Senator Orrin Hatch is the head of the committee that deals with trade issues. He says the Republican majority in Congress makes it more likely that the deals will win approval. And that's the VOA Learning English Economics Report. I'm Mario Ritter.